wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see.
This is the Grace and Truth program. And now we continue these messages of the Holy Spirit of God to you through his bondservant, David Brinkman, and the song evangelist, Stan Carey. In our life's experiences, we meet a great diversity of human characters, and yet each of these characters is presented to us in God's Word, the Holy Bible. You will find yourself in those holy pages, your double. My message is to those characters who are intense. They never go at anything in a half-hearted way, but they put their whole being into it. They don't just cautiously wade in, but they fearlessly plunge in to sink or to swim. Such intense individuals are greatly misunderstood and the laughingstock of others, for if they fail, they fail in a big way. But strange to say, even the scorn does not faze them, but rather spurs them on to try harder. While most people regard them as worthless plops, yet they have great potentialities which can only be developed and used when they make a complete surrender to their Lord and Master Jesus Christ. In God's Word, we meet with many intense characters. We see a shepherd lad named David going into a camp of soldiers. They're terror-stricken by a huge giant in the opposing army. But that lad says, "I will fight him," and he set out to do so. He was in earnest and gave himself wholly to it. He was so intense that he ran to the giant with only a sling and a few pebbles, yet no one could stop him. And soon that stripling of a lad carried the head of the big giant back to the terror-stricken king. These intense characters have great potentialities. That shepherd boy became the king. Then there was a fisherman named Peter, and when he made a mistake, it was a big one, so that people counted him just a loud-mouthed failure. They didn't understand him, but Jesus did, and he understands you. Thou intense young man or young woman, Jesus understands you. The crowd may razz you, but the Lord Jesus sees the possibilities of those qualities he has made into you. To that intense Peter, the Lord Jesus called, "Follow after me, and I will make you to become a fisher of men." Intense in catching fish, he was to be intense in catching men for Christ. 3 years pass as Peter pulls off one blunder after another. Then comes a day of all days. Jesus Christ, having died for our sins, rose from the dead, as he said. And it was the day when the Holy Spirit came down from heaven. A multitude gathers, and up stands a preacher. He has neither a religious gown nor an orator's diction, but he speaks with power, and with all his intense being, he pleads with those men to repent, and 3,000 are moved to turn to God. Who was that preacher? He was that intense, blundering fisherman of Galilee, Simon Peter. Oh, how I wish I could look into the eyes of you young people listening to me. I would like to plant a seed of hope, of encouragement in you, you who are intense yet blundering characters. My message is, the Lord has need of you. He made you and he knows you. He loves you, for he died for you. He wants to use you. Others discard you as worthless, but he says, "I need you. I will make you a fisher of men." Now for our main character. She was a Samaritan woman, belonging to a despised set of people. Their Christ-rejecting religion was only a lot of shrines and ceremonies. It had nothing to offer, such as she was. Today, our young people are turning away from religion. Why? If our religion is without Christ, it's only a sham. Life, light, and love are never found in religion, but only in our Lord Jesus Christ. I am not preaching to you some form of religion. I am presenting to you the living Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That woman had a religion, and she could talk religious while she lived such a wicked life. And so it is today. Some of the big religious talkers who parade their religious talk and arguments live lives so filthy and wicked it's a shame to talk about such. So the first thing our Lord condemned in her was her religion. As he said, ye worship ye know not what. To talk about a person's religion makes them bristle up with mad resentment. But our Lord was the faithful witness and pierced her with the sword of truth and the arrows of conviction. They did hurt, but that is God's way to bring us to shame and repentance. He always spoke what we needed and not what we liked to hear. That Samaritan woman so lived that any lover of decency and honor would have abhorred her and kept the young folks from her evil influence. Read about her in John chapter 4. Jesus' disciples marveled that their Lord and Master would even talk with such a worthless thing as they so rated her. But our Lord perfectly understood her, and he spoke to her words that uniquely fitted her case. She was an intense character. When only a young girl, as she budded into young womanhood, she determined to get the best out of life for herself, regardless of anyone else, whether it broke the heart of her own mother or wrecked the home of her rival. Where could she find life's best? Her people were so despised, she could never be famous. The applause of the populace, she was disqualified from ever having. She could never be rich. The charm of money was not in her reach. And drink? Well, that wouldn't fill the bill, for when she sought the thrills of liquor, it would knock her out, so she would know nothing. She decided on the lowest of thrills, and the most God-provoking, too. She would pursue her thrills in the avenues of lust. But to be a public harlot? No, that gave her no choice. She would have to be any man's fool. What then? Be a wife of some wicked man and be as wild as he? That had his sorrows. So she set out to allure the husbands of others and specialize on being a husband stealer. In these last days, this wicked and adulterous generation is beset with such tricks as charming secretaries and dramatic movie stars allure men from their wives and children. Oh, hear this, man of God. Be advised, young and old, since God declares the sanctity of the marriage bed and vows his judgments on any who dare to defile it, saying, marriage is honorable in all in the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Let me tell you, if you must live a wild life, leave that sin off your schedule in the fear of the living God. And so she sets out to sink or swim to gain her gold. I doubt not that ere she had gone far, some sensible old woman, or maybe her own mother, would have warned her. But that intense young woman was willing to lose her health, her reputation, and even her life. She was bent on her goal, and nothing could stop her. Even had one warned her of God's wrath, she would have tried to forget God and leave him out of her life. Perhaps she planned on making it right with God in her old age before she died. Is not this the delusion the devil is feeding our young people today? Don't be deceived by the enemy of your soul. You cannot leave God out of your life. You are dependent upon him for everything, and he holds your very breath in his hand. And your old age, you will spend it in eternity, I warn you. As she tested herself by the mirror, she thought she had what it took. A pretty face, a charming smile, a dancing eye, a lovely form. She had it. So she sets her allurements for the first husband. Her success makes her jubilant. She got him, and away they go together. Now she was going to get all there was in life, but as day by day passes, an awful disappointment fills her. An awful emptiness gnaws away at her soul. She had no peace or rest, and joy and happiness had departed afar off. And her conscience lashed her. But maybe she got the wrong man. So they break up, and she tries again. This she does till she had stolen 5 husbands and wrecked 5 homes. And then the once pretty face betrays a heavy heart and the marks of a sinful life. The charming smile has gone, and even the form has lost its youth and vigor. But she's intense, she's desperate, as she steals husband number 6. It is her last try. It's the end of a rope. Why do people not stop with one drink, one cigarette, one dance, one deed of immorality? They're not satisfied, for all forms of sin leaves a restless emptiness, and so the intense character will not quit, but on they go again and again, unwilling to give up and surrender. This was the woman who made her way that day to Sykers Well. And as in the distance she sees a man sitting at that lonely well. We need not mention her intentions. I pause to consider one of the personal glories of that man who sat on the well that day, that holy man, Jesus of Nazareth, the Son of God. He was a lovely man with the majesty of a king and the bearings of a perfect man, and yet his presence never stimulated an inward evil desire in a harlot or even this husband stealer. This is a testimony to the spotless, marvelous, divine holiness of our blessed Lord. In his presence they never tried to ply their trade, but wept in shame over their vile sin. No public man, whether an orator, a statesman, or even a singer or a preacher, has ever been able, by his personal holiness, to so knock down the desires of the opposite sex. Who was this man in whose presence sin must be forsaken, or else they must depart from him? He is the person this woman needed, but she knew him not. Her eyes were blinded to both her need and Christ the answer to it. Anyone seeing this woman approaching could have detected on her face her secret lustful life. Young folks, hearken to me. Secret sin cannot be hid, for it advertises itself on your very face. But who could have looked on that woman and named the exact number of her wicked outrages? Only Jesus. And he knows you and your every sin. Our Lord spoke to her words that awakened her conscience and memory. Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. Her wild plunges one by one came before her, and their tormenting thirst again. She felt herself in the presence of one who had been watching her all her life and knew more than her deeds. He knew the very motive behind it all. With those few words, our masterful Lord pronounced the verdict on all of earth's pleasures and thrills. It was his call for her confession. She's on the spot. Her eyes drop in shameful memory. Her lips quiver. Then our Lord presses the truth deeper. Thou hast had 5 husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. The awful exposure, the exact accuracy of his charge now cause her to weaken, and she gives up. With this her eyes begin to open, and she says, Sir, I perceive thou art a prophet. Then comes her full repentance as she comes clean with everything and confesses that all she ever did was sin. With this, the veil is moved, and she sees the Lord Jesus as the Christ. Here we learn a big lesson. It was only when she saw that all she ever did was her vile sin that she found in Jesus the Christ, her Lord and Savior. Sin was written over all her life. Not one good deed remained. All was stained by sin. This is Bible repentance. Have you too confessed that you have no goodness but only sin? When you so repent, then your eyes, now blinded by pride, will open to see Jesus as your Lord and Savior too. That woman found in Jesus the living water, that everlasting life. She is converted. Now that intense character that our Lord saw as a potential soul winner, with all the earnestness of her being, she runs to the city. From one to another she goes, telling of her Savior and pleading, Come, see a man who told me all that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? That day that despised outcast of Sychar was such a soul winner, a city of men confessed Jesus as the Savior of the world, brought to Jesus by this intense character. Young man, young woman, May your history now be as hers. May you find in the Lord Jesus Christ the answer to your every need and longing, and with all the earnestness of your character, become a winner of souls for him, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. This is another message of the Holy Spirit of God through his bondservant, David Brinkman.